Heavenly Father, give us ears to hear your truth, hearts to love you and wills to obey you, because we ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
So what does the summer mean for you? What do you look forward to? How do you use the time? For me, often those summer weeks are not quite so pressured. It's time to catch up. It's time to sort things out. Sometimes, and this really goes against the grain, it's time to throw things away, to clean and tidy and ready ourselves for what lies ahead. But if you're anything like me, very often wonderful plans don't necessarily take shape quite the way you had hoped. So what have you planned for this summer? That first reading we had is perhaps one of the most well-known stories in the Gospel of St. Luke. It's one of those stories you probably remember, and I remember from when I was about 3 foot tall. It was one of those I learned in school. It begins with a lawyer trying to justify himself, trying to show just how good he is and how well he's doing. But how much is that like our plans to do so much so well? So Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What is set out? What is important for us as God's children to follow? He answered, this you know, the first two commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your strength and all your minds, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus' answer was simple enough. You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. What did Jesus mean? The man was living already. Jesus couldn't possibly have meant, do this and you will live and breathe. Rather, Jesus meant, do this and your life will be altogether more powerful. You will be altogether more alive. Suddenly, the wheels have come off. One moment we have a well-educated, learned man who knows everything in his head and who is pleased with himself. The next we have someone who recognizes that something somewhere here is just not quite right. Luke says this, the man wanted to justify himself. Do you ever feel like that? I would often meet folk who say to me, "Oh, Rector, I don't come to church, but I do believe it. I try to live a good life." Trying to justify ourselves when actually we know we could do that much more. And so Jesus tells that story that we know so extraordinarily well, a story we have come to know as the Good Samaritan. But though we know it well, it's still a wee bit uncomfortable. The reason that Jesus focuses so clearly on the Samaritan is that people didn't like them. It was no accident or mistake that the priest and the Levite went by on the other side. It was because that's what you did. They were just not people that were cared for. They were regarded as unclean and unwanted, unworthy. So it was that all of those good people, the people that others would look at as being godly, walked by on the other side. But not the Samaritan. Others didn't want to get their hands dirty. Would you? Seeing someone in desperate need, would you want to come close to them? What was it about the Samaritan that was different? Was it that he knew his place? Was it that he recognized the good in others? Was it that deep down he didn't just believe something in his head, but lived it out? It would have been easier perhaps to have been tokenistic about it. He could have just stopped, checked the man's pulse, and moved on. Perhaps some of us would have done that. Well, it's better than leaving him there entirely, isn't it? Just to see that he's probably okay. But he did more than that. He got off his own animal, picked up the broken and battered body of that person lying in the road, and he walked while the man was carried. And if that wasn't enough, he took him to somewhere where he could be properly cared for. He not only paid for him, but he said, I will come back. Whatever it costs, I will repay it. It's a story we know well, but ends so simply. Jesus said, which of these three was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The lawyer replied, well, obviously, the one who showed him mercy. Oh, yes. And then Jesus said, now you go and do the same. Our lives as followers of Jesus must be materially different. It is utterly no good to stand with the priests and the Levites who looked the part and knew what was what, but had nothing to offer in the real world. In the second reading we had from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, it's all good news. St. Paul talks about the way that God has chosen us, has adopted us as his own, and wants to give us a powerful inheritance. But we need to reach out, to get up, and to take hold of it. It is no good sitting as we do at the beginning of this summer with a list of jobs to do, hoping somehow that everything will sort itself out. And actually, we have to engage. We can be assured that God has chosen us. In Jesus, he has opened to us the possibility of extraordinary new life. But it's not without a price. The compassion and mercy showed by the Good Samaritan was not without a price. But for him, there was joy and freedom and fulfillment, not in what he could show others, but in what he could give away. Please, as we stand together as God's people at the beginning of these summer weeks, let me encourage you not just to do things for yourself, but to see what you can give away. For in your giving away, God's goodness will be revealed.